ژاپن به راحتی می توانند در بازسازی افغانستان و کاهش مشکلات منطقه‌ای به یکدیگر کمک کنند. رئیس کمیسیون امنیت
weeks and not days but I would say in the next 4 to 5 weeks to come that we need to have significant additional funding. The pipeline of food supplies is adequate until the end of July. However, currently they have no funding for August.
Hundreds of thousands of people are living in camps which are now overflowing, but this represents a small fraction of problem in Pakistan, as more than 80% of the displaced are far less visible, being dependent on their hosts in settled areas. The UN warned that the humanitarian crisis may worsen in the absence of more funding as the monsoon is approaching fast. The UN noted that health facilities in conflict zone have been either damaged or destroyed after Pakistan launched military action against the Taliban. According to the UN, the private sector, which had been providing 60 to 70% of healthcare, has been totally shut down in the conflict zone. Refugee crisis may linger on also because of large-scale military operation by the NATO against Taliban in southern Afghanistan after fresh deployment of 4,000 US troops.
The military surge in Afghanistan, and we are in discussions with the US and other coalition partners in Afghanistan. We hope that our concerns would be seriously considered by them, so that we do not see much of infiltration across the border to our side.
Islamabad has also deployed additional troops on its side of the border facing Helmand province, apparently in an effort to prevent infiltration of Taliban from Afghanistan. Washington is trying to convince Islamabad that Taliban are the main enemies threatening the very sovereignty of the country, but Pakistan is deeply skeptical about the US geostrategic plans. Officials here fear that US troops in Afghanistan may cross over borders under the pretext of cracking down Taliban sheltering in tribal areas. Javed Rana, Press TV, Islamabad.
A recent survey shows an overwhelming majority of Pakistanis oppose U.S. drone attacks on their soil. Officials say attacks by unmanned planes have killed around 400 Pakistanis since August. Press TV's Adil Sabir was with Pakistani military spokesman Major General Attar Abbas to ask about the attacks.
We've seen a number of drone attacks this year, and there has been extensive collateral damage. The government's policy has always been that it affects Pakistan's sovereignty and that Pakistan should be given ownership or control of these drones, requested a number of times by the government. What's the army's particular take on the issue of drones?
In our judgment, it harms more than it helps, because it creates an environment where the military's presence and the operations against the militant organization in particular, it puts the military in jeopardy. It compromises the military's presence and the aims and objectives of the operation.
So could you just explain, are the drones inaccurate, i.e. in terms of their hardware, are they inaccurate? Is that why the collateral damage is being caused, or is it because of the lack of intelligence perhaps that the US operators have which creates this collateral damage? What is the reason?
I think both the reasons are correct and applicable in certain cases. Sometimes they have gone completely missing the target, and sometimes they have resulted in huge collateral without realizing that they had to first isolate the target and then target it. So therefore, more assurance, more careful selection of target and confirmation is required, which can happen if both the sides are, if particularly those who have been operating in the area, they take over the target selection and ensure that there is no collateral damage involved in that.
A 17-year-old Palestinian girl has been killed by an Israeli tank shell in the Gaza Strip. Palestinian hospital workers say the girl, called Hayam Ayash, was killed near Al-Buraj refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip. Four other people have been wounded in the attack, one of them seriously. Israeli military officials have said their soldiers came under fire from the Palestinian side of the border in Gaza and responded. No casualties have so far been reported from the Israeli side. Hamas has rejected Amnesty International's accusations on the resistance movement's violation of the rules of war during Israel's recent offensive on the Gaza Strip. Amnesty International also says Israel committed war crimes against Gaza civilians. Yusuf Al-Hulu has more from the Gaza Strip.
Hamas movement has described Amnesty International's report as unbalanced and unfair, as it puts the victim and executioner on an equal footing, and strongly rejected Amnesty International's assertions that it violated the laws of war during Israel's recent offensive.
The report ignores the size of destruction and serious crimes committed by the Israeli occupations in Gaza, broadcast live on the television screens across the world, and provide a misleading description in order to reduce the size of the Israeli occupation crimes committed by all shapes of weapons against the Palestinians and civilians and children in Gaza.
13 pages of the 117-page report are devoted to the conduct of Hamas and other Palestinian armed groups and points out the rocket attacks they carried out against Israel constitute war crimes. The report also says Hamas and other Palestinian militant groups had endangered Palestinian civilians by firing rockets from residential neighborhoods and storing weapons in them. Israel has also rejected the Amnesty International report that accused it of committing war crimes in the Gaza Strip and said the human rights group was manipulated by Hamas, and says the Israeli military conduct was in line with international law.
We, as the human rights organizations, we believe that such reports empower the struggle of the human rights organizations to sue the Israel war criminals. But we have to understand that Israel deal and behave as if it's above the international law.
The report asserts Israel committed war crimes and carried out reckless attacks and acts of wanton destruction in its Gaza offensive. It also says hundreds of civilians were killed in attacks carried out using high-precision weapons, air-delivered bombs and missiles and tank shells, adding that women and children were shot at short range when posing no threat to the lives of the Israeli soldiers.
We want the criminals who committed heinous crimes against us to be punished for what they did. We've seen many missions come and go, but so far justice hasn't been served.
Amnesty's report came days after Human Rights Watch issued a report accusing Israel of committing war crimes, and comes a day after UN fact-finding mission, led by Judge Richard Goldstone, concluded its investigation and public hearing sessions with survivors. But whether such reports will be used to charge war criminals remains to be seen. Yusuf Al-Hulu, Press TV, Gaza.
Former U.S. lawmaker Cynthia McKinney and several other human rights activists are still in an Israeli prison after refusing to sign a deportation form that they claim is self-incriminating. McKinney says the form states that the vessel was violating the Israeli blockade and trespassing the country's territorial waters. However, McKinney says they were in international waters while delivering humanitarian aid to people in Gaza. She says the Israeli Navy ships illegally threatened them before dismantling their navigation equipment and confiscating the ship. She says they were immediately taken into custody. On Tuesday, the Israeli Navy seized their vessel, which they call the Free Gaza Relief Boat. The Green Party presidential candidate says the State Department and White House officials have not demanded their release. Green Party leaders say Washington must intervene to secure the release of the detainees. The crew of 21 also included Irish Nobel Peace Prize laureate Mairead McGuire. The U.S. vice president has arrived in Iraq on a surprise visit just 2 days after American troops pulled out of Iraqi cities and towns. This is Joe Biden's first trip to Iraq since taking office back in January.
The president wants focus, even in the White House, on the implementation of our administration's plan to both draw down troops in Iraq, which is underway, the first stage, but also the second piece of that plan is for there to be an accommodation, a political settlement among all the factions within Iraq,
There's unresolved issues from boundary disputes to the oil law, and my job is to try to help accommodate them reaching those agreements.
Joe Biden will meet with Iraq's president and prime minister, as well as his own troops, now stationed on the outskirts of the Iraqi cities. On Tuesday, the White House asked Biden to oversee Washington's Iraq policy and work toward achieving political reconciliation. Time is 1:45 a.m. here in Tehran. You're watching us live. Here's a reminder of our top stories. U.S. President Barack Obama calls last month's job loss sobering and sees no recovery in the coming months. A Palestinian girl is killed by an Israeli tank shell fired into the Gaza Strip. Also, new pictures show how a besieged base came under attack in Iran's post-election riots in Tehran. We're off for a quick break here on Press TV. Up next, French investigators reveal more about the final moments of the Airbus A330, which crashed into the Atlantic on June the 1st. That and a lot more after this very short break.
This is harming America's image abroad in any way?
We were not getting anything in that package, spring us anything. There's this big misunderstanding.
I think the administration is much too new and has barely begun its work to make any judgment whatsoever about what it may or may not be able to do.
I think it was intellectually brave, politically courageous, potentially historically constructive.
Thanks for coming back. Press TV has obtained new pictures from an attack on a besieged base during a post-election demonstration by supporters of the defeated presidential candidate Mir Hossein Mousavi in the Iranian capital Tehran on June 15th. This is how some TV news channel reports have been top-heavy with bias over the events unfolding on the streets of Tehran. Britain's Channel 4 News, in its coverage of the attack, ignored pictures that showed rioters were attacking the base with Molotov cocktails. Channel 4's version of the incident only highlighted the part that involved the allegedly unprovoked shots fired by the security forces from the rooftop of the building in question. The officials also confirmed later that the building housed an armory. Journalist Maziar Bahari says he provided the pictures of the June 15 attack to Channel 4. It's not clear if Bahari was at the scene by chance or whether his presence was pre-planned.
In June, I sent a report about the attack against the base, a military base of Basij, to Channel 4 News as well as to Newsweek magazine.
Moscow says it's against imposing sanctions on Iran over the post-election unrest. Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman has said imposing sanctions on Iran over its internal problems would be unlawful and could prove counterproductive. Andrei Nesterenko said Moscow believes all disputes should be addressed through legal means. He was responding to the Italian Prime Minister, who said the group of eight leaders would discuss possible sanctions against Iran in their upcoming meeting. Meanwhile, the EU has rejected British calls to summon Iranian ambassadors to protest the detention of local British embassy staff in Tehran. Sweden's foreign minister says it's too early to recall ambassadors as the EU is taking this step by step and is awaiting Iran's reaction. Carl Bildt says he hopes for the release of all detained employees. Iran charged nine local British embassy staff for their involvement in the post-election unrest. Eight have been released, while one remains in custody. Honduran exiled President Manuel